This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يكف عليه ضيعته ويفوتك من ورائه. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمن أخو المؤمن. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لأخيه. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of the beauties of our deen, opposed to the society we live in, is that our deen promotes a collective community, collectivism. Contrary to what the society promotes, which is individualism. I have my house, my property, don't come onto my land, don't ask anything about me, leave me alone, you do your thing, I do my thing. But when it comes to our deen does not teach us individualism. Our deen, our religion, teaches us collectivism. How to always be together. Until the point that if you look at the actions of our deen, that we've been ordered, we've been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out the ibadah, the acts of worship, we find that the act done alone compared to the act done in collectively, the reward done collectively outweighs many more folds to the action done alone. For example, you know, the most basic example of this is salah. Salah prayed at home, you get a single reward for it, you pray it in the masjid, along with a group of people. Establishing brotherhood and establishing a community, what happens now? The reward is multiplied by 25, 23, 27, different narrations. It's almost 5 days of salah, a person can gain that reward just by praying one salah, together, collectively, with a group of Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. So the believers are brothers of each other. The believers are brothers of each other. The color shouldn't matter, the tongue shouldn't matter. The background, the culture shouldn't matter. What matters is that we have one kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions in Medina Munawwara. We find that there is a person by the name of Salman al-Farsi. You've heard of this person, right? Salman al-Farsi. Where was he from? He was from Persia. And then you have Suhaib al-Rumi. Suhaib al-Rumi was from Rome. Who were the two main superpowers at the time? Persia and Rome. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their words in the Quran, إِلْفْلَامْ مِنْ غُلِبَتْ الرُّمْ فِي أَدْنَا الْأَرْضُ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. That the Romans and the Persians were fighting each other. So one is from one empire, the other is from the other empire. But when they become Muslims, there is no hadith that even shows the slightest grudge that one had against the other. You don't hear anywhere that Suhaib al-Rumi, he tripped over Salman al-Farsi while they are walking on the street. Or one elbowed the other, or one stole his money, or one did this and the other. No. It didn't matter. Their backgrounds didn't matter once they became Muslims. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified this very clearly. In the last sermon he gave, in the Hajj, his farewell Hajj, he mentioned, لَا فَضْلَ لِعَرَبِيٍ عَلَى عَجْمِيٍ وَلَا لِعَجْمِيٍ عَلَى عَرَبِيٍ. That there is no excellence for the Arab over the non-Arab. And there is no excellence for the non-Arab over the Arab. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْ أَحْمَرٍ وَلَا أَسْوَدٍ. You are not superior to one who is dark in skin, or one who has red in skin, إِلَّا أَن تُفْذِرُهُ بِالتَّقْوَى. Unless you excel that individual, unless you beat that individual in piety, in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith he said, التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا وَأَشَارَ إِلَى صَدْرِهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that taqwa, piety, and he used his finger and he pointed to his chest. He said, taqwa is here. Don't try to impose your piety on other people by showing them your actions, by using your statements against them, by showing them your power, because your power only lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at your face, how beautiful you look, how often you go visit the beauty parlor, how often you go visit the beauty salon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't care your face. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't care how much money you have lying in your bank, وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. What Allah cares is what's inside your heart, وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares of is what are your actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. On that day, no wealth and no children will help you, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except for the one who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart. There was one companion. And this has always been one of my favorite ahadith as a child. I recall whenever we studied the hadith, you know, for 15 years that I studied, whenever this hadith came, it always brought tears to my eyes because I found the beauty of Islam within this hadith. One of my favorite ahadith. And the hadith is a story of a sahabi by the name of Sa'ad al-Aswad al-Sulami. Sa'd al-Aswad. He was called al-Aswad. Aswad means someone who's dark, someone who's black in skin. The reason why he was called this is because his skin was dark. And he was from the tribe As-Sulam, right? So his name was Sa'd al-Aswad as-Sulam. He's sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, أَأَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ That will I enter into Jannah one day? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turns to Sa'd and says, Sa'd, why are you asking such a question? Of course you're going to enter into Jannah. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm dark in skin, people make fun of me, people look down on me, no one wants their daughter to marry me, I'm a loser in the community. What's going to happen to me? Is Allah going to be pleased with me on the Day of Judgment, or is Allah going to be upset with me just as these people in the world are upset with me too? Will I gain Jannah the hereafter? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sa'd, you will gain Jannah. And that's my promise to you, inshaAllah, and Aziz. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, if what you're saying is true, then why do the people in the world look down on me so much? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sa'd, no one will ever look down on you ever again. And he said, go and call this man by the name of Ibn al-Wahab. He has a daughter, you will marry his daughter. Now Ibn al-Wahab was one of the leaders of Medina Munawwara. He had just accepted Islam. And his daughter was one of the most beautiful women in Medina Munawwara. The seniors and the higher people who had higher ranks in Medina Munawwara, they dreamed of marrying that lady. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Sa'd that you're going to marry that lady. It's a dream come true for him. He's marrying the most beautiful lady in Medina Munawwara. So he looks around for Ibn al-Wahab, and Ibn al-Wahab is not in the masjid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sa'd, go to Ibn al-Wahab's house and tell him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that you marry his daughter. Sa'd comes to the house of Ibn al-Wahab, and he knocks on the door. Ibn al-Wahab comes to the front. He says to Ibn al-Wahab, that the Messenger of Allah has sent me here to marry your daughter. Ibn al-Wahab looks at him and says, look at your face. Look at yourself. You're going to marry my daughter? Get out of here. He said, but Rasulullah said. He goes, look, we're going to deal with that later on. You're not marrying my daughter. That's the final word here. So he was sad, all bummed out. You know, this is the way he started off. He's heading back to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the daughter steps out from behind the curtain and she says, oh my father, if Rasulullah sent him and we reject Rasulullah, where will we be? How can we ever live a life after rejecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where will we be? We'll be exactly where we are sitting right now. Who will we be? Exactly who we are today. If we reject the sunnah of Rasulullah, if we reject the call of Rasulullah, who will we be? Each person asks themselves, who are you? Who am I? Without the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask ourselves, why are we where we are today? It's an answer simple, because we've abandoned the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba couldn't imagine leaving the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalifa radiallahu anhu. He's sitting on the table eating with the Persian generals. All the Persian generals. He's eating with the top generals of the world. And he's having a dinner with them. And he picks up a morsel, he brings it to his mouth, and the morsel slips his hand and falls on the ground. He bends down and he picks up the morsel and he eats it. He cleans it and he eats it. The man next to him, he elbows him. He goes, what are you doing, you foolish man? You're picking up food from the ground and eating it while you're sitting on the table with the generals of the world? You should be shameful of yourself. What kind of manners do you have? And he says something that honestly you should write on your heart and engrave it on your heart. What does Khalifa radiallahu anhu say to this man? He looks at him like disgusted and shocked. He looks at this man. He says, أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَاؤُلَاءِ الْحُمَقَى. Right? أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي. Do you want me to leave the sunnah of my Muhammad, my beloved, لِهَاؤُلَاءِ الْحُمَقَى, literally for these idiots here? Right? For these idiots, am I supposed to leave the sunnah of my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So this girl says to her father, that what are we going to do without the sunnah of Rasulullah? What are we going to do if once we reject him? She says, oh my father, if you do not have any objection to this, I want to marry this man. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has truly ordered this. They both come to the masjid in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The father also comes along. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells his Sa'd, that's what the sunnah means. Sa'd, pay the dowry to her, give her the mahar. He said, O Messenger of Allah, how much should the mahar be? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, 400 dirham. How much? 400 dirham. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I've never seen 400 dirham in my life. How am I supposed to earn that money and give it to her? Oh, I'm out of this marriage. That's not for me anymore. And he's getting up to leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sa'd, take it easy. Go to Ali, go to Abdul Rahman bin Awf. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three or four sahaba, he says, go to them and tell each and every one of them to give you 200 dirham each. He comes back with 600 dirham in his hand. He gets married. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the bride, you go home, your husband will be with you very soon. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, the leftover money you have, go buy a gift for your wife and take it for her. He goes to the market, he's looking for a gift for his wife. You can't even imagine how excited he is. His dream just came true. First Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him he's going to Jannah. Then the lady who he could never dream of marrying, he just married her. Then the dowry he could never imagine providing, he just gave the dowry. His wife is sitting at home waiting for him, and he's going to buy a gift for his wife. He's on cloud nine. He's walking in the market looking for a nice, the perfect gift for the perfect person. And what happens? there is a man standing on an elevated area, and he says, Ya khayr Allah irkabi fi jannati udkhuli. Ya khayr Allah irkabi fi jannati udkhuli. That the time of war has come. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba are departing Madina Munawwara. Join the battlefield, all men here, and let's go and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi jannati udkhuli. Go and enter into paradise. Sa'd al-Aswad al-Sulami, he looks at the 200 dirham in his hands. He looks back to the house where his wife is sitting. And he says, and he realizes what he has to do. He purchases a horse. He purchases his very first armor in his life. And he purchases the very first sword in his life. He puts the armor on. He takes the sword. He mounts the horse. And he joins the army. He throws a cloth over his face because he realizes that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him, he won't allow him to fight. He had just gotten married moments ago. And he's going in the battlefield. He has a cloth over his face. The companions are asking, who is this man? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. He says, forget who he is. He's going to fight in the path of Allah. Let him maintain his sincerity. Let him keep himself hidden. The war starts. This Sa'd al-Aswad al-Sulami behind the field. He's fighting away. Until finally he's injured. He falls off his horse. And his face for a single moment is exposed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees his face. He says, bring that man here right now. When the man comes in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Anta ya Sa'd? Are you Sa'd? He says, O Messenger of Allah, he removes the veil from his face. He has tears in his eyes. He goes, Naam ya Rasulullah. O Messenger of Allah, the man standing in front of you is no other than Sa'd al-Aswad al-Sulami, whose nikah you just performed moments ago. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I told you you're going to enter into paradise. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never looks at the face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never looks at your pocket. What he looks at is what is inside your chest. What he looks at is what your actions are saying. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sa'd, your actions and your heart always told us who you were. Sa'd, you are going to paradise. And that's my promise to you. Sa'd al-Sulami radiallahu ta'ala, he stands up once again. He goes in the battlefield and he's fighting until he is injured. And when he's injured and he's about to pass away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam runs to him. What does the hadith say? He doesn't walk to him. He runs to him. He dives, picks up his head, and puts it in his lap. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to stroke the hair of Sa'd al-Aswad al-Sulami, and he passes away in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in tears, and he's crying, but look at this man. This is what you call a man. This is what you call a true believer. This is what you call a Muslim. He gave his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of his marriage. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is crying, and then all of a sudden Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to smile. And then he turns his face away and gets up and leaves. The companions say, O Messenger of Allah, first you were crying, then you smiled, and all of a sudden you got up and left. What is this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the man passed away, I thought to myself, how great of an individual is he? Tears were gushing out of my eyes. And then I saw the Uhud coming to receive him. And I saw his body being washed with the water of paradise. His wounds being washed with the waters of paradise. I begin to smile, say, Alhamdulillah, this man is going to where exactly where he wanted to go. And then the hood began to rush towards him. And one of their legs were exposed a little. So I turned my face away. And I said, now let him relax where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for his armor, asked for the sword, and asked for the horse, and said, go give this back to that lady who's waiting at that house, and tell her husband couldn't meet her in this road, her husband will meet her in the hereafter, and this is the gift that he went to purchase for the market for her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, this is such a beautiful incident, I love this one. So I looked at him, and I made the biggest mistake in my life by judging him, right? I saw him, he had earrings in his inside, and he had, you know, his hair was all braided up, and he had a necklace going on, shirt was ripped up, he was like 18 years old, felt like, you know, he really just was all over the show. This guy was all over the show. He had rings, that, you know, tattooed on his finger. Probably couldn't afford one, so he just got one tattooed, whatever the case was, right? So he had, like, it was really, you're like, I was like, whoa, subhanAllah, right? This brother made it to the masjid. So I said to him, okay, you know what, I'll meet you, let me just finish up with some of the other things I need to get done. You know, for those of you who've been to ICC and I'tikaf, you have 400 people in one masjid, which can only accommodate for 200, and it's packed. So finally, when I met this brother, it was 12 o'clock at night. Everyone's sleeping, we're sitting there alone. And I said, what's up? Talk to me. So he started crying. He studied at Diplo University, I still remember this. He started crying. I said, what's happened? Talk to me. What's the problem? I was thinking probably some drug issue. Probably his parents found out that he had a girlfriend. Probably he had a secret they got out, trying to abort the kid. Probably, you know, the cops are after him. He probably did some crime and the cops are going to come arrest him tomorrow. I was thinking of all these things, right? And I said to him, what happened? Talk to me. Come on. Calm yourself down. People are going to wake up here. Everyone will sleep. So he said to me, Sheikh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with you. I said, what happened? What makes you see this? He said, the very first time in my life, in 4 years, I missed the Hajj Salah last night. And I was like, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And I was taken back so far that what did I think of this person by seeing his image? But what was lying inside this person's inner life, even I could agree with it. The point that I want to make, right, is that focus on yourself. Don't let people deceive you, right? Don't let people judge you. And at the same time, you shouldn't judge other people. Our job is to care for every person around us. And if we decide to stop caring for other people because they follow another fiqh, because they follow another madhab, because they follow from another race, this is foolishness, right? Our deen tells us, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ لِتَعَرَفُوا. It doesn't say لِتَنَاكَرُوا, it says لِتَعَرَفُوا. That we made you have groups and tribes so you love one another, so you get to know one another. That's لِتَنَاكَرُوا, so you begin to hate one another, so you walk away from each other. Our deen teaches us, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and this is the final word that I hold it, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ. One of you can never be a complete believer, حَتَّى يُحِبُّ لِأَخِيهِ, until he loves for his brother, مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ, when he loves for himself. Anything that happened on the court, any rough talk, any rough actions, leave it here. When we leave here, when we leave the court, once again we shall embrace one another, shake our hands, and show the brotherhood that we came here to establish. May Allah accept us all. And Jazakallah khair. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. Allahu Akbar.